Yeah, so first of all, could you just introduce yourself?
My name is Ryan Fitzgerald. I am the intern at Only a Game.
Ryan is actually no longer our intern, but he and Only a Game producer Martin Kessler recorded this conversation about a month ago because something exciting happened at the office. Here's Martin.
As the youngest member of the Only a Game staff, I tend to miss a lot of cultural references. Lines from old movies and Bob Dylan songs, recollections of ancient technologies like typewriters. But on that day a month ago, Ryan and I talked about something the rest of the Only a Game staff knew nothing about.
I remember playing backyard baseball for many hours on my computer. I thought it was the coolest game ever.
If you were a sports fan born in the 90s, you probably also thought backyard baseball was the coolest game ever. It was a computer game, and instead of starring pro players, the game featured cartoon children. Cartoon children who could blast 400-foot home runs. The character that Ryan and I remembered most vividly was named Pablo Sanchez.
And I just remember, like, he'd come up to bat, and the bat would be, like, almost the same size as him.
After that conversation with Ryan, I checked with some friends to see what they remembered about backyard baseball.
I remember Pablo.
Pablo is like Babe Ruth crossed with Mike Trout crossed with Sandy Koufax.
But crossed with like all the pudgy kids that you grew up with.
If I remember correctly, the shirt did not cover his entire belly.
He had like pretty maxed out stats. He crushed, man. He was the coolest.
So Pablo Sanchez was the star. He was pudgy, short, but there was something else that everyone mentioned.
And he only spoke Spanish. As far as I can remember, he only spoke Spanish.
Also because I took Spanish, and I was like, oh, yeah, cool. I could have been friends with him.
These days, you hear a lot, probably not enough, about the shortage of minority characters in children's books, games, and movies. Yet, here was this hit computer game from 20 years ago that starred a Hispanic character, who's still popular today. We started to wonder, how did that happen? Who invented Pablo Sanchez? And why? Pablo's roots can be traced all the way back to a makeshift field in Olympia, Washington.
First base is the chimney. If you hit it into the neighbor's yard, it's an automatic out and you have to go get it.
Nick Merkovich grew up playing wiffle ball with his neighborhood friends, and he went on to work for a video game company in Seattle called Humongous Entertainment. It specialized in adventure games for younger kids. There was Freddy Fish, which starred an anthropomorphic fish detective, and Putt-Putt, which featured a talking purple car. Nick liked all those games, but when he got home, he played something else.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to John Madden Football.
During the 90s, a company called EA Sports started releasing a slew of popular sports games aimed at teenagers and adults. One weekend, on a drive from Olympia to Seattle, Nick got an idea. Why not make a sports game for younger kids? He wrote up a one-page proposal for a baseball game, ran it by a friend, and turned it into his bosses the next day. And then, he didn't hear anything. Months went by. Nick forgot about it.
And then all of a sudden, this is a strange thing that happened, the Mariners started doing great.
The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship.
In 1995, the Seattle Mariners reached the MLB playoffs for the first time in franchise history.
It was kind of a big thing here in Seattle. And the studio head kind of got pulled into that, I think.
Maybe it was just a coincidence, but Nick's baseball game idea suddenly got the green light. By that point, Nick was already working on another project. So the ball ended up in the hands of a programmer named Rich Moe.
I actually never really played baseball growing up, so I was the least qualified one of the bunch.
And an artist named Mark Pizer.
I think it had to do with the availability of others, because I would not have been anyone's first choice.
So with that fearsome duo at the top of the lineup, the project began. Understandably, Mark and Rich had some concerns. For one, as Rich recalls, nobody had bothered to check whether there was interest in a sports game for younger kids.
We had no idea. This was back in the day when we didn't have a large army of market researchers I don't think we did a focus group, period.
Second, the company's technology was meant for simpler point-and-click adventure games, not a sports game.
I was instantly thinking, how are we going to pull this off? And how could we go head-to-head against EA? They are the dominant force in the sports game industry.
So the two guys who didn't know baseball, without any market research or proper technology, started thinking.
We quickly saw that the game here was not to beat EA at their own game. It was to take it in a different tangent.
Their plan? Here's Mark.
It really started with the characters. I mean, that's the biggest part.
Rich, Mark, and Nick, who, thanks to sharing an office with Mark, still ended up at meetings, decided their game could stand out if they made characters little kids could relate to. EA Sports could have pro athletes. Backyard Baseball would have the girl with the backwards hat who was always chewing bubble gum and the cool rocker guy who wore big headphones to the plate.
We were thinking, okay, we're going to do baseball. I think there's like, what, 9 people on a baseball team? Something like that? And so, well, how many characters are we going to develop? We have to have 18, at least. It ramped up from there, though, because we wanted to have alternates. It only took a little while of discussion before we said, okay, we're going to develop 30 kids.
What was your reaction to that?
It seemed like a lot. It seemed like a lot of kids, 30.
So they brainstormed. They thought about kids they grew up with. Mark knew a kid who used a wheelchair, so they added an ace pitcher with a wheelchair. And maybe they added some characters based on themselves. One character, Reese Worthington, happens to have asthma, just like Rich. And for more inspiration, they turned to movies and TV shows like Sandlot and Peanuts.
And then we also talked about the Bad News Bears.
There is no limit to what some men will do for money, especially a man like Morris Buttermaker.
In that old movie, the one with Walter Matthau, I'm old. There's this scene where he's the curmudgeonly guy, and he's trying to staff out his silly little league team.
All right, I don't know who the hell you are, but sit down and shut up.
Can I play second or third base?
You can play second or third, whatever you want.
There's a character in there, and he was just a small Hispanic baseball player on the team, and they tended not to like really put him in. And our thinking was, what if he was the best player on the team the whole entire time?
I remember us talking about, what if we had a character like that in our game?
The one that can't speak the language and might normally not be picked is the best player.
It would be like a little secret you'd have to discover.
At that meeting, Mark started sketching. He drew a smiling boy in a V-neck t-shirt with his belly peeking out.
And do you remember why?
No. No, there's no reason why. You just do.
But the combination stuck, and Pablo Sanchez was born. They nicknamed him the secret weapon. They made him the best player and a Spanish speaker.
Hola, soy Pablo, y me gusta mucho el béisbol.
Rich says it was all part of a plan to make Pablo a character that children might initially overlook.
Was any part of you, though, thinking about, like, hey, this could be good for the world to have?
No. No, I mean, because we all bought into that idea that this is a game for everyone. But we didn't think we'd have that big of an influence. It was just a game.
It was just a game, but it turned out to be a hit, especially Pablo. He wasn't much of a secret. Everyone figured out he was a quick base runner, a solid shortstop, and a fearsome hitter. Pablo's home run song became a familiar tune in living rooms across the country. Humongous Entertainment made it into a series with other sports. Pablo, of course, continued to dominate. In 2000, they released a second edition of Backyard Baseball. But this time, Humongous added kid versions of MLB stars like Derek Jeter and Cal Ripken Jr.
A lot of people didn't like that idea, I would say. It was controversial.
That's Amy Paganini. She produced some of the later games in the Backyard series. The worry was that the pro players would overshadow the original 30. But after the sequel came out,
we would meet people that played our games and they'd say, oh, they love it was always Pablo. We love Pablo. And then they didn't say little Cal Ripken Jr. They said Pablo.
Since then, the legend of Pablo Sanchez has grown. There have been fake documentaries about his life.
Pablo Sanchez. Say the name and people around the world get excited.
Quite possibly, tongue-in-cheek articles have speculated about his possible steroid use. For the record, all the original designers deny those allegations. So why is Pablo Sanchez still remembered so fondly? Mark Pizer, the man who drew the first sketch of Pablo, has this theory.
It satisfies some sense of justice that we all have. You know, that it's not fair when the really super tall, big, good-looking guys are also the best at playing sports. That's not fair. You know, so let the little guy have a chance.
For Only a Game, I'm Martin Kessler.